review. As you can see, Pastor Tony's not here again. Him and his family, he went to get Josh and Holly up at college, and I think they took a little sidetrack and a vacation, so you got me 2 weeks in a row. I'm Pastor Don, to some of you that don't know me. So last week we were in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, and I could tell you that last week was probably, if I had to do my top five of all time things in my life, besides the Broncos going to the Super Bowl and winning it, and being at that game last, the New England game when they clinched the playoffs to go to the Super Bowl this year, that would rank in there. But last week, my two sons were here because my daughter graduated, and that was an awesome time too, and very special weekend. But my sons were both here, which is not normal. One's in Omaha, Nebraska, and then the other one here in the Springs. And they're both in ministry. And so if you wasn't here, you missed something special. You guys, would you agree with me?
Yeah.
Or am I just prejudiced? It was really special because in all my lifetime, never has my sons and I got to share together like that. One after another. I've had my son, some of you know I was a youth pastor for years and years, and both of my sons have shared one of them, but not both of them back to back with me leading the way first. That was just pretty cool. We went out to eat after that, and we were just like so. See, I'm using my son's language, that's the skateboard ministry. We were stoked. That's just some talk that he says. And yeah, it really was special. So if you were here, you got to witness one of my great events in life. I told the Lord he could just take me home. Don't get no better than that. So a little review. You know, that first part of verses 8 and 9, Peter is telling us something that we need to do in our lives. To be a good witness, right? To love others, to be good, to not insult for insult like we like to do sometimes. And we talked a lot about that. I'm not going to go into big detail, but I wanted to point out that last week he talked, Peter, and if you were here, you remember that I related it to James, because when Pastor Tony is here, we've been going through the book of James verse by verse. And then I used the comparison of Paul. And basically, they all have been saying the same things, that we need to watch our mouths. We need to watch how we live in front of other people, believers and non-believers. I talked about how we can blow our testimony. I talked about how people are watching us and we live in a fishbowl. Anybody remember that? Yay, somebody remember that. And so that's what he emphasized last week, that we live our lives in a fishbowl. People are watching us. And so this week, we're going to pick up in 1 Peter chapter 3. If you have your Bible, you want to turn there. Verses 13 through 18. I said last week, I'm sorry, I didn't tell a lie, but I just can't finish it. I said we're going to finish the rest of that chapter, but we're not going to. There's just too much through chapter verses 13 through 18. And so we're going to pick up there. And so if you have your Bible, you can follow me. But let's pray first. Father God, I praise you. I thank you for this opportunity to stand before my fellow brothers and sisters and be able to share the word you put on my heart. Lord God, I pray that it would touch them. I pray that you would speak to them. I pray that they would be motivated. I pray that they would be restored, renewed, and refreshed. And I pray they'll be challenged, Lord, to do what you're going to tell us to do here. Lord God, in James it says that we shouldn't be just hearers of the word, but doers also. And so I pray tonight that we can be. I pray that if some people are not doing that, Lord God, you'd motivate them to do that. And so just bless our time now. Speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. So verse 13. Now who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? Remember, he was just talking about doing good. So he's saying now, he's continuing. Now, you're doing good. Who's going to harm you for doing good? But, he says, even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And I don't know if you have some translation, and I'm not going to go there very long. We're not going to break every verse down tonight. I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to concentrate on one. But I just want to say there, that means to separate Christ in your life, in your heart. There's another word that's used often in the Bible to be sanctified. And it's to separate Christ. We're to be separated. We're supposed to look different. We're not supposed to look like the heathens in how we talk and act. That's what he's saying there. So the second part of that verse. And if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. Some Bibles say defend it. Defense of it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. And keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ. Remember, it is better to suffer for doing good if that is what God wants than to suffer for doing wrong. Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. All right, so tonight I want to concentrate on just basically one of them verses in here. It's actually a half verse of, it's a long verse of 15. And that part that in the back end of 15, it says, and if someone asks about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. I really want to focus in on that tonight. Some of you guys that know me very long know that I'm a little different than most of you. I got to admit that. I know that when I radically got saved in 1977, I was raised Catholic. I always believed in God. That when I got saved and I gave my heart to Christ, he immediately gave me the gift of evangelism. So I know that I'm different than most people and how I go about and live my life out there. I know that. My wife is always telling me that. But I'm not you. No one's asking you to be me. I just want you to be you because you have something to share. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. We all have something to share, especially if you're sitting here and you're a Christian and you've been born again and saved by the grace of God. Then you have something to share. Would you all agree with that? And so I want to talk about that. I want to talk about how easy it is to do that. We're going to look in the Bible at some characters that did that. And I hope that I can, like I said, and pray for you, that you can be motivated and encouraged and challenged to share more. Because you all have a story. You all have something to witness about. Amen? So, let me talk about a honeybee. Anybody like bees? Nobody, huh? You don't like being bit by them, but you like honey? So I think there's a great lesson that we can apply to this scripture about a honeybee. Someone set out a honeycomb to feed some bees that had a hive a short distance away. To start the process, they captured one bee in a cup, placed it over the honeycomb, and waited until the bee discovered the treasure. When it was filled and satisfied, it flew directly to the hive. After a moment, the bee returned with a dozen others. These, in turn, brought many more, until finally a swarm of bees covered the comb and soon had carried all the honey into the hive. What a lesson for us. Are you telling others about the one that you found? The one that changed your life? The rock, Jesus Christ. Can you tell others and be considerate than the bees are? If honeybees can tell about something that's so good, why can't we? I have a hard time with people that don't share their faith. I'm sorry if I offend you tonight, but I do. I just don't understand why people don't want to do it. I've heard every excuse in the sun. Oh, I just don't know what to say. You know what? I'm going to give you a story later that's what's wrong with you. You're worried about what you're going to say. Okay? And we're going to talk about that. We're going to look in the Bible at a couple characters. So if you would, if you want to, you can turn to 1 Peter with me. While you're turning to 1 Peter, or excuse me, I said 1 Peter. I need you to turn to Acts chapter 3. I have a lot of scripture to share tonight. Acts chapter 3. I wondered why you're just all sitting here looking at me like that. Acts chapter 3. While you're turning there, in Romans chapter 1 verse 16 it says, "For I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile." So that's one of our leading scripture beside what we just read in 1 Peter. So in Acts chapter 3, you know, this is not long after Pentecost. And we're going to pick up a little story, and some of you are familiar with it. And I think one time I shared it because it's a great example in the Bible about sharing. So I'm going to pick up in verse 3 of... Yeah. Is that where I want to start? Yep. Peter and John went to the temple one afternoon to take part in the 3 o'clock prayer service. As they approached the temple, a man lame from birth was being carried in. I want you to notice something right away there. They weren't going to the temple with a sermon. They didn't have their Bibles because they didn't have Bibles back then, did they? They were going to pray and worship God. But on their way to do that, they encountered this man. And I call this, and some of you might have heard me preach on this before, because I pound this one. I call it seize the moment. We all have moments in our lives. Do you seize them? Do you capitalize on them? Whatever word you want to use there. Or do you let them go by? So look what happens. So each day, this man they brought was put beside the temple gate and one called the Beautiful Gate, so he could beg from the people going into the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently, and Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, "I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk." Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him, and he strengthened up. He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking, leaping, and praising God, he went into the temple with them. All the people saw him walking, heard him praising God. When they realized he was the lame beggar they had seen so often at the Beautiful Gate, they were absolutely astonished. So if you would now, I'm going to skip for time's sake. I just don't have time to read all that scripture. But if you'd go to chapter 4 now, what happens is some people talk with Peter about it. He tells them more about it, and it ends up that they get arrested. Because they were telling people about Jesus. So we're going to pick up here where they get arrested in verse... I just want to read you verse 4. It says, "Many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. So after seeing this message, and we don't know for sure, but I don't know how long Peter preached, but for instance, he shared, and 5,000 people got saved. So they get arrested. Right? So now we pick up in verse 8. Listen to this. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders,'" I'm skipping down now to verse, second part of verse 10. He told them that, what happened. This crippled man got healed. And then he says, by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no name under heaven given among men by which one must be saved. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, did you hear that? The boldness of him. I want to back up there, that boldness. I don't know if you caught this, but he kind of slammed the Jews, did he not? He said, who you crucified. Wow, that's some boldness. I'm not telling you to start that way when you're witnessing to someone and slam them, but Peter did, because they were religious people. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were there, and that's why he used that on them. So, all I want to say there is that you have to be ready in any situation you're at. Maybe you're talking to somebody religious, so maybe you have to be bold. You know? I think I've told you stories before where God had me be bold before. You know, I remember one time talking to a Buddhist that explained everything to me, why he was in Buddhism. And this guy was no good, and he's telling me about how he wanted to come back as an eagle and all this and that. And I said, dude, you're going to come back as a cockroach. And he looked at me. I had him right there with the cockroach. And I remember him looking at me. I said, you're no good. I said, you cheat on your wife. Every other word out of your mouth is a cuss word. And you're talking to me about your good works you want to do to attain your salvation, to come back as an eagle. I said, it ain't going to happen, dude. You're going to be a cockroach or a worm. And then guess what I said to him? See how I seized a moment? I let him talk for, believe it or not, I can listen. I let him talk for, I don't know, 20 minutes telling me about Buddhism. And guess what I said to him? Guess what? If it's up to me, and because of all my sins, I'm going to come back as a worm or something, because I'm no good neither. But thank God for Jesus Christ, and that he died for all my sins, and I don't have to come back to this place, and I don't want to, because I can go to heaven. That's what I told that guy. Did he get saved right then and there? No, not that I know of. You see, that's why a lot of people don't share. I think I shared this before, not long ago. So many people are caught up in, well, what if he doesn't get saved? What if he doesn't? Does that mean you don't share? I never seen where, when Jesus told us to share, that he said, well, you know, when you share, he's going to get saved, so make sure you tell him where your church is. He didn't say that, did he? He just told you to share. So get out. You don't save anyone. Last I know, Jesus is the one that saves. So if you get out of your mind about, what if they make fun of me? What if I don't say the right? Just share. Why you believe what you believe. See, I really believe that we should know what we believe and believe what we know. And if you don't do that, I don't know if you're really a Christian. Are you? Are you? If you can't share with somebody what you believe and know what you believe, are you a Christian? Someone could answer that. I'm not going to hit you any harder than that, but I wonder if you can't share that much. So, as you see there, boy, don't we want to be like Peter and John and have people say that about us? I don't care if anybody says, I can tell that Don goes to Calvary Fellowship. I could care less. I want them to know that I know Jesus, that I've been with Jesus. Did you notice that's what they said about him? Huh? They didn't say that, hey, they go to the first, what is it, Messianic Jews church? They didn't say that about them. Because didn't they? That's funny. Someone's laughing at me. No. They didn't say they were Southern Baptists. No. Pentecostal, because they were at Pentecost. No. They said they recognized that they had been with Jesus. Wow. Wow. Don't we want them to say that about us? So, my point is, when we seize a moment like that, we just got to go with the Holy Spirit. Did you notice that it said, filled with the Holy Spirit? See, we try to do it in our own self. And that's when we get into trouble. We're so worried about how much we know, what we don't know, whatever. But it's most important that you share what you do know. You wouldn't believe, maybe just the little bit you know, how much God can use it to touch someone. Let me tell a story. I wasn't going to tell, it wasn't in my notes, but I just thought of a great story. I think I've told it before, but some of you, I know, haven't heard it. Some of you know that I work up at Ponderosa at a Christian camp. And been there 15 summers coming on, right? I'm the chef up there. And so my daughter, you know, basically was almost born up there. We got there when she was 3. So she learned to be very social and go around. And, you know, she basically grew up at a camp. What a great atmosphere for your daughter to grow up in. And I'm proud of her. But anyway, I want to tell a little story about her. And I know I've told it before, but I know everybody hasn't heard it. And it's something simple about sharing your faith. And I'm telling you the point before I tell the story. But be about sharing what you know. Don't be worried about how much you share. Share what you know. So, I want to say she was in second grade, Emily. And she brought a friend home on a Friday night to spend the night. And this girl was I remember she was from New York. And she was a little odd in looking and had no friends. But Emily befriended her. And she brought her home, and so they came up, and I remember it was a Friday night, and me and Marty were there, and it was real slow. And I remember just me and Marty were there cleaning up. The girls ate, and they went downstairs. You know, there's a game room there. And so they went down to play. And I remember I'm there by the salad bar, and I'm cleaning up. And all of a sudden, Emily and this little girl appear, and they're standing in front of me. And Emily, "Daddy, you need to talk to this girl right now." And I'm like, all I could think of was she got a pool stick downstairs and she broke the tile or she broke a window or she did something bad, you know. And I said, "Okay." I said, "You know, Daddy's really busy, but can I? "No, Daddy, you need to talk to her right now. Listen, Daddy, I told her about Jesus and I took her as far as I could." How old are you in second grade? Someone help me. 8? That's what she said. She said, "I brought her up here because she needs to talk to you now, Dad." Wow. Guess what? I said, "Can we wait till we get home?" So when I got home, I got to share with that little girl who I'm telling you was like a little sponge, this big of a sponge, just sitting there. And I shared the gospel with this little girl. And wow, she got saved. And I could tell more of that story, but I'm getting off. Anybody remember that story, me sharing it before? Somebody? No? Yes, somebody does? Man, I almost want to tell this other part because it's really good, but I got to go. Because there's more to that story, but unfortunately, we got to get back in God's Word here. Okay, if you would, turn with me now to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 1 through 13 we're going to look at. Another story about someone sharing. Everybody there? So I'm going to pick up verse 9. Wait, I need to look at my Bible here. That's where I want to start. Yeah, verse 9. "As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi," his disciples asked him, "why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins?" "It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins," Jesus answered. "This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned us by the one who sent us. The night is coming and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world." Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go, wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." Salaam means the scent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and others who knew him couldn't believe it. The beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I'm the one, the same one." They asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them, "The man they called Jesus made mud and spread it over the eyes, my eyes, and told me, 'Go to school of Siloam and wash.'" I mean, go to the pool. I said, "School, Siloam, and wash yourself." So I went and washed, and now I can see. "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. Then they took the man who has been blind to the Pharisees. So I'm going to pick up the story now where they question this man. They don't believe him. They bring in his parents. And for time's sake, I'm not going to read you that, but they ask his parents a what about. And his parents are scared. And they said, "Hey, you know what? He's old enough. Ask him yourself." And so, picking up in verse 24. "So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, 'Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner.' He answered, 'Rather, he is a sinner.'" They're talking about Jesus as a sinner, because how could they say that when he healed a blind man? Anybody know? Well, because he did it on the Sabbath. Well, you can't heal someone on the Sabbath. That was against all their little rules. So look what he says. He said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. But one thing I do know." Oh my God, I love this. I just love this scripture. "I was blind and now I see." Wow. He was bold enough to share that with these people that could put him to death. For time's sake, I'm not going to share that here. But he goes on and wow, he shares the gospel with them. He's not afraid. He lets them have it. He says, "What, do you want to believe him too and follow him like I do?" So, pretty cool story about a man that wasn't afraid. And think about this for a moment. He didn't even know. He didn't have a Bible. Some might say, was he even saved then? Well, we know later that he does, because he comes back to Jesus. He meets Jesus. And for time's sake, I'm telling you, I'm not going there. But he definitely gets saved. And so, but think about how bold he was before he really even knew what he was even doing. He still shared, did he not, what had just happened? Did he not? The good news. So as followers of Christ, we are called to be a witness of what Jesus has done in us and for us. To point people to Christ, we don't need to be able to explain every theological issue or answer every single question. What we must do is explain what we have witnessed in our own lives through the cross and resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ. Even better is that we don't have to rely on ourselves alone to do this, do we? Because Jesus promised in Acts 1:8, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and in the end of the earth." Or we could say in Monument, in Colorado Springs, in Colorado, in the United States. He wants us to be his witness. Doesn't he not? So we talked last week about how that looks like in our actions. But you see, God wants us to share about him. I've ran into a lot of people that, you know, they're good people. They want to share in their actions. And I don't want you to get me wrong. We have to, because we have to back that up, do we not? Because that's what Paul says. That's what James says. But you should be able to share the gospel, the simple gospel of what Jesus has done into your life and who you are. I don't believe there's no such thing as a quiet Christian. Underground Christian. We're not underground here in Monument. We're not no underground Christian, okay? In some countries, they are underground, but we're not. And so you should be able to share easily your faith with others in any way you can, somehow. It might not be the whole gospel step by step to salvation. It just may be something so simple like this. You know, I was praying about this today. I went to the gym. You know, some of you that know me, I love to work out, especially right before I'm going to preach. I just love working out, and it helps me to think and clear my mind. And a lot of times I listen to music. And so today when I went, I was praying before I got to the gym, and I said, okay, God, I want something fresh today. I pray this often, and so you can use it as examples. Like, God, use me. I'm going to the gym. I make myself available to you. I want to witness for you. I want to seize a moment. Give me a moment. You know what I'm going to do, God? I'm not going to wear my headphones. I love to listen to music. So when I was working out, I did. But I said, you know what? I'm going to take them off after, because I like to go take a sauna and steam after. Sometimes a hot tub. I got a hip that bothers me. So I went into the steam. So I didn't have my headphones on. I'm like, okay, God, I'm ready. So there was a woman in there. So, some of you think I'm crazy. I don't care. You know that about me. I said to myself, self, God, help me. If she speaks, that's my clue. I'm going to share with her. Right? Anybody ever pray to God like that? Yeah. I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. She didn't speak. I didn't share. So I'm bummed out. Get out of the steam room. My hip has been killing me lately, my lower back. So I go into the hot tub. I don't like taking hot tubs there, but I decided I wanted to take one because my hip's killing me. So I get into the hot tub, and this older guy gets in with me. I mean, just right after I did. And he was probably in his 70s. And we're sitting there, and he was almost side by side on the same side. A woman walks by. You know what he says? Wow. Now I wonder why she had the towel on in the steam room. And he says, you notice she dropped the towel when she walked by us. That's what he said. Here's my chance. How many of you would have took it with someone saying that? I said, I never noticed her. I didn't know she dropped her tail. I'm a Christian. I'm actually a pastor, and I didn't look that way. Oh boy, did I open it up. I'm not going to get into any more, because it's a long story, because I talked in length to him. And it's not what it's about. It's not about, oh, Don, you're so great. You share in the hot tub. No, it's not about that. You know what it's about? How easily it is to share with somebody. You just have to be ready and seize that moment. I knew that the guy wasn't a Christian after I said, because I gave him more than about three chances as I told him I was, and I had some point of views, and he was not. But we talked. And guess what? As we ended up leaving, I was dressing, and I said, man, you know, I was praying for that guy by myself. And I said, you know, I hope he walks by me. Guess what? He walks by me. I said, hey, take care. He goes, I hope to see you again. I enjoyed your conversation. Wow. So guess, don't you know, I started praying for him. Because I don't know what the little bit that God's going to do. It's not up to me. I was just obedient and seized the moment. Do you all get that? It's that easy, guys. It's not hard. It wasn't hard. That was just being available, opening my mouth, not being ashamed of the gospel of Christ, being ready to share my faith. I didn't preach the gospel to him. He couldn't have handled it. But I'm hoping to God that I see him again. And if I don't, I'm going to keep praying for Chuck. You know that? Because God can send another person. He doesn't need me. Right? So God has important work for us to do. All of us. But you must do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we witness by our own power and authority. We often like to get on with the job and we don't wait on God. Sometimes we get ahead of Him. But waiting is sometimes part of God's plan. Because sometimes we can get overzealous and then, Don wants me to share. You just go out there and you got to have some wisdom and be led by the Holy Spirit. And God will direct you and tell you how. I'm going to tell another story. It's a really good one. I don't remember if I ever shared it here. I don't remember. I know in my old church I did. But I was on a mission trip in Texas, in El Paso, Texas. And we went there to build a church right on the border of Mexico. And all we worked, it was hot. It was right before spring or summer starts in spring. And it was hot. It was in high 90s and hit 100 a couple days. And the sand was always blowing. It was really miserable. But we built this church for this very predominant Hispanic community there. And it was just a tin building church. It wasn't like we were a bunch of, skilled laborers. There was maybe one guy in there. And so part of my job, I was a youth pastor at the time, was in the late afternoon, like about 4:30, I was to run a sports camp with the kids in the around the neighborhood of where this church was. And so, we always went back and changed. But as we went there, when we first went there, I want to say there was a team of about 10 or 11, 12 of us, and two people that we picked up in Pueblo. And none of us knew these two people. It was a man and his wife, and they were Hispanic, and neither one of them spoke very much English at all. And they were not with us, but somehow they connected with us. I don't even know why and how or anything. It's not important. But we saw them sometimes early in the morning, and they filled their car up with like day-old bread and canned stuff, and they took it over the border. And so we hardly ever seen them at night. So anyway, the first day I went out there, and I had two buddies that was with me. They were just to help me because, we didn't know what to expect in this camp. Or not camp, but just, I guess we could call it a little sports camp, whatever you want to call it, after evening camp. And the first day, we brought a bunch of treats for them. I always know how I can get the kids is give them a treat. So I brought a bunch of cookies and some drinks. I had a big old cooler, huge cooler. And the first day, I don't know what to start. There might have been 20 kids there. And so we hung out with them. We had a couple soccer balls, basketball. There's like a little basketball court there. And we hung out with them. We played. And then, I told them, I got some drinks for you guys. Want a drink? And they said, oh, yeah, They could say, yeah. But I'm serious. They hardly spoke any English. And so I sat on the cooler and I made them listen to me as I shared just a little teeny bit. I mean, you guys, I shared hardly nothing because there was this language barrier. But I remember saying something about sin. I remember starting with sin. I just thought that's something people need to know, that we're sinners. And I remember I felt like I wasn't getting through to them at all. And I remember this one little kid raising his hand. He goes, you mean like the rules? And I'm like, yeah, like rules, sin. And I explained that to him. And I still couldn't see that little boy as he raised his hand saying rules. So the next day we come back, double. Must have been 40 kids, 50 kids. It was awesome. Shared a little bit more. Still felt like I'm not getting through nothing to him. But we gave him some treats, say goodbye, say we'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow we come back, 75 to 100 kids. Now there's some bigger kids that were hanging out to the side. They were like checking us out the first couple days. It was the little kids that came the first couple days. So, I guess they wouldn't told them we was giving free food. So they all came back, talked to them a little bit more. And like I said, very little because they no savvy. They don't understand. But I shared some. So the fourth day, I'm working there on the church in the afternoon, and I remember praying. And even that night, I remember I couldn't sleep. And I remember God laying on my heart that I was going to share with them and have an invitation. And I'm like, what? I didn't feel like I was ready to do that. That they surely wasn't ready. They didn't understand. And so I remember praying to God, you know, God, help me. And I remember during the day as I was praying about it, I said, okay, God, you know what? You know, like on Pentecost, how they shared in tongues, all different languages of these people. Okay, I'm just expecting you to give me that gift, and I can speak. I don't speak Spanish. I know tortilla and enchilada and beans and, you know, queso, a few little words, right? But I don't know how to share. And so I'm serious. I'm telling God, you're going to fill me with your power, and I'm going to speak, and I'm going to speak Spanish. I'm serious if you don't believe me. So we went, I remember the three of us went back. We always changed our clothes into, you know, like PE clothes, shorts, and because it was so hot. And we're driving, and we saw that woman, man, that I told you about earlier. You remember that? So we saw them and we passed them, and they could not keep up with us. And it was on one end of El Paso from the other end of El Paso. So we had to go through all kinds of lights, and we lost them. And so anyway, I decided I'm going to share first before we play. They're going to get it. I'm ready. So I sit on my cooler. Here I go. I'm ready to speak, and I'm expecting to speak in Spanish. And I'm like, all of a sudden, that woman sat down next to me and started speaking and translated everything I said. You guys, I was so blown away. I never seen God move like that. You guys, so many kids came forward to get saved, we couldn't even count them. The pastor, who was Spanish, ran home to get more Bibles. He had Spanish Bibles. It was incredible. But my point was, it was in God's timing. And it was the way God wanted it to do. He didn't need me to speak Spanish. Let me tell you something. I don't know how that woman knew to this day. I don't know her name. And I never saw her again. I didn't even get to thank her. She like disappeared. Me and my two buddies thought she was an angel. Like, I wonder if she was an angel. We never saw her again. We left 2 days later. Isn't that an incredible story? But so simple. So simple. Just being ready to share. And it was just incredible. So, I want to end now. If you want to, you can turn to Luke chapter 8. And I'm going to pick up in verse 35. Just one more thing with Jesus sharing again. Or telling a man to share. That's why I want to use this as an illustration. This is a famous story. Surely you all heard about it. I'm not going to tell it for time's sake. It's where the man is filled with demons. And Jesus, he begs him to... He called out, Jesus, Son of the Most Living God. You remember that story with the pigs, and he cast them out? Okay, I want to pick up, though, with something else that happens. So if you look with me in verse 34 in chapter 8 of Luke, when the herdsmen saw what had happened, they fled and told it in the city and in the country. Then people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind. So here this guy is. He's in his right mind. Everybody knew that this guy was nuts. If you remember the story, he was filled with many demons. So pick up in verse 38. So he wants to go with Jesus. Jesus is going to leave. A bunch of people are coming. He gets on a boat, and this guy wants to go with him. So listen what happened. The man from whom the demons had gone begging that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to your home. Listen to this. And declare how much God has done for you. And he went away proclaiming throughout the whole city how much Jesus has done for him. That's what God wants us to share. What he has done in your life. That's all. He's changed you. He's forgiven all your sins. You've got lots to share. I'm going to tell a story. It's not a good one. It's not a good ending, but I hope it will lay heavy on your hearts. There was two young men. They had been friends from childhood. One was a Christian. The other one was not. The second man was about to embark on a long ocean voyage, and the believer felt the urge to speak to him about Christ before he left. When I read that, I have to think, what took you so long, dude? Said they were friends since childhood. And so he says, "I'll do it on the way to the dock," he promised himself. But when they reached the dock, he still hadn't done it. He went on board to say goodbye and thought, "When we bring the baggage to his room, I'll speak to him then." But the porter took the trunks and suitcases, so they did not visit the stateroom. Finally, he said to himself, "I'll be sure to witness to him in some quiet place before the ship departs." Suddenly, however, there came the announcement that all visitors must leave. Duh. 2 months later, word came that the man had died overseas. He didn't seize the moment, did he? He made excuses all the time instead of jumping on it. You know, once in my life, I had a sad story about that with a young lady that worked for me. And she had told me that her friend was killed in a car crash. This was a high school young lady. And she was very sad, very upset about it. And that was on a Saturday. And so, you know, she was very, very sad. And so I didn't speak much to her that day. But I remember the next day on Sunday, she was still very, very sad. And she was walking around very moping. I call it moping. And I knew what was bothering her, but you know me. I said to her, "Hey, what's up? What's going on?" She goes, "Oh, I'm really having a hard time with this. This really good friend of mine was killed in this car wreck." Listen to what I said to her. I said, "Was she a Christian?" You know what she did? She bowed her head like this. I still remember it. And start bawling. And I remember I told you, I'm admitted in front of you that I'm crazy. I'm not like some of you. I remember getting my finger. This girl happened to be in my youth too. And I went and I poked her in the heart. I said, "And you called her your friend." I hope you get that. I hope you get that. How do you have a friend you don't know if they're a believer? Huh? Let's pray. Father God, I praise you for tonight. I thank you that your word is so strong that convicts us. Lord God, that shows us who we are sometimes. Lord God, you called us all to be a witness. That doesn't leave any of us out. If we're a believer here tonight, we're supposed to be a witness. In how we live our lives, as we talked about last week, but Lord, sharing what you've done for us, sharing the gospel, sharing, "I was a sinner and God forgave me." Or almost like the blind man, "I was blind, but now I see." You know what? Lord God, we were all blind. We were blind to sin that covered our lives. But Lord God, you opened our eyes by your light and let us see ourselves as sinners that need a Savior. Lord God, we thank you so much for dying for all of our sins, past, present, and future. Lord God, help us to never forget that. But Lord God, help us to be challenged to go out and share that good news with others. Lord God, there's people all around us, in our neighborhood, where we work, in our families, that are going to hell because no one's taken the time to share with them. Lord God, help us to be bold like Peter and John was. Help us to declare the great things you've done for all. Lord God, you said in your word that you wish that no man perish. Lord God, that doesn't leave anyone out. And so God, please give us a hunger for the lost. Lord God, I pray for every single person here that maybe this week as they go out, they can be bold enough to seize a moment where they can just share. Lord God, because it's you that come and bring other people maybe to water that word, and you save them, not us. But Lord God, we pray that I lift up Chuck to you tonight with the words I said to him, Lord God, that you would bring him upon his heart even tonight. I pray, Lord God, he could have no rest, that you would deal with him and let him see himself as a sinner, because I know that he does not. And so, Lord God, I pray for this man. I pray that you, by your power, would open his eyes. And Lord God, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord God, that you would use them to be a witness wherever you've placed them in their lives. I ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.